Good morning. Welcome to the Front Porch here on this Wednesday edition. And of course, this is Missionary Radio, your Christian community station. And we have Bing Verbist in with us on Wednesday morning, of course. And here's Bing.
Thank you for joining us, folks.
Yeah.
Brian and I are just out here on this nice and cool front porch, just waiting for everyone to show up.
Yeah. Just rocking away.
Yeah.
No, just miss. Well, you know, sometimes it would be nice to have a front porch here.
Yeah.
We could just sit there on the front porch and talk.
Well, we can just visualize it.
We'll just visualize it. Yeah, that's what we can do. Visualize it. But
speaking of the old front porch, I was just talking to you before we got started. About last Wednesday as I left here, I determined to go up to Adairville to the Red River Meeting House.
Yes. And
a lot of people in this area probably have heard of it. It's a place where 200 years ago, a great revival ignited in this area.
Yes.
And it was really, really cool. I would suggest if people have a chance that they make that trip up to Adairville, and you can just Google Red River Meeting House. It'll take you right there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll
mm-hmm.
think you're out in farmland, and you are. It's surrounded by big, big dairy farms in that area.
Yeah.
Commercial dairy farms with a lot of employees. But this has been saved, and there's a graveyard there. I think the oldest date I saw was 1730.
Wow.
That's
a long time
back
ago.
But it was a place of a great revival. And what was really cool, I don't want to get off too much on it, but what was really cool is there was three Presbyterian pastors that were having services.
Yeah.
And one fella and his brother came in from an area in Kentucky. They had just experienced the revival. They came from mm-hmm. a place where there was a lot of moonshine and a lot of murders, a lot of crime.
Oh, yeah.
And his name was Reverend John McGee, and he wasn't really accustomed to preaching. He was pretty new at it. But when these three pastors were doing their service, one of them said, I felt the presence of the Lord, but it was no stirring. There was nothing going on.
Yeah.
And then this John McGee started singing. He sang, "Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours." And he kept singing that, and pretty soon people were, as described in the narrative, you can read it, there's so many accounts of this, were slain in the spirit. People were on the floors, and they were praising God, they were confessing sins, they were just down in the presence of the Lord. The Spirit was there.
Wow.
The three pastors went out onto the outside of the building, and they were saying, you know, what do we do? What do we do here?
Yeah, yeah.
This is not the Presbyterian way, is what they actually said to each other.
Yeah.
And one of them said, well, if it's of Satan, it's going to soon subside, but if it's of the Lord, there's not a thing we can do about it. And they went back in, and they joined in, and that's really sparked a huge, huge revival in that area. And it was so, you know, I went in there, and I was able, it's not really visited that much. Last Wednesday, I went up there, and it was me alone with that spirit in the building, God's spirit in the building with God. And for 3 hours, I was able to just pray. Just speak, you know, speak to the Lord, read the Bible, and just feel, and just think about what wonders took place in that building 200 years ago. And
that's one thing. You know, I always wonder. I said, if these walls could talk,
You
know, all the things that's happened in so many of the churches throughout mm-hmm. the United States.
Yes,
if walls could talk of all the things that, you know, the walls have seen, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
And the Spirit's moved in all these churches, you know, and just the amazement of all that, you know. But I've heard about it. I've just never been there, but I'm going to go check it out.
It's a good place. Go up there. Turn your phone off, or don't even take your phone, and just experience that's the silence, and just gravitate to wherever the Spirit leads you when you're up there. It's really, really neat.
Yeah.
But I would suggest that. Today, before you ask me, we're going to be in John.
Okay.
Or no, excuse me. We're going to be in Luke 6:20. Luke 6:20.
All right.
And that's where we'll start when we get back.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. A construction crew was building a new road through a rural area, knocking down trees as it progressed. A superintendent noticed that one tree had a nest of birds who couldn't yet fly, and he marked the tree so they would not be cut down. Several weeks later, the superintendent came back to the tree. He got into the bucket truck and was lifted up so that he could peer into the nest, but fledglings were gone. They'd obviously learned to fly. The superintendent ordered the tree cut down. As the tree crashed to the ground, the nest fell clear, and some of the material that the birds had gathered to make the nest was scattered about. Part of it was a scrap torn from a Sunday school pamphlet. On the scrap of the paper were the words, "He careth for you." I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on your community Christian station. And of course, that's right, the world needs King
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Before we get into Luke 6:20, and that's where you can put your finger in your Bible if you're going to follow along, I'm going to read the verses 17 through 19 of Luke 6. It'll give us the context. This is, it says, and he, and that's speaking of Jesus, came down with them, and that's speaking of the 12 disciples that he took up to the mountain with him and stood in the plain. Okay, so he was up. He was praying. He was ordaining his 12 disciples on this mountain, and then he came down with them, stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Verse 19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. And he healed them all. Remember last time we were together, the woman who was had a issue of blood flow
for
12 years.
Yes.
She came in this big crowd, and she said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed, which she was.
I thought, you know, what was so interesting with all that, when Jesus knew that that happened.
Yes.
And he mentioned it. If I'm not mistaken, his disciples that was around us, well, Jesus, a lot of people are touching you.
That's exactly right.
You know, but he knew right off the bat when she touched, because virtue went out of him.
There were a lot of people touching him.
Yeah.
But this one woman
had faith.
She knew if she touched him, she would be healed. And he felt that. And I believe he feels that from anyone who has the faith like that today.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so we're in the plain, okay? That's important because the words that we're going to hear next are there in the plain, not on a mountain, not out in the wilderness somewhere. He may be out away from the city, but he's not in the mountain like a lot of people picture. And it says here, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, okay? So I think right there it meant his disciples. He knew his disciples had to have his attention more than anyone. Because his disciples would be the ones who'd be sharing the same message that he's about to speak when he is no longer with him. And Jesus said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, I don't believe he's speaking of necessarily material poor, even though the masses who were there were primarily not the richest people of Israel.
Sure.
But Jesus is referring to the spiritually poor, those who know there's a vast difference between the holiness of Jehovah God and the condition of their very own hearts. Mm-hmm. We should know that too. We need to know that too today. Now, people who are not so self-righteously sure, as the Pharisees were sure, Jesus has already encountered them. They were in right standing with God and by following the law of God. That's how they were sure, not by faith, but by following the law, doing works to be righteous. These people were people who would never say as they stood in prayer, and we go back to Luke 18:11, a parable spoken by Jesus there. It gives us an idea. God, and this is speaking of people giving tithes in the temple. One person, God, he says, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So mm-hmm. he's looking around as he's in the temple giving tithes. He says to himself, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, are these words of someone who's spiritually poor? No. These are words of a man who is spiritually rich in his own eyes. He's feeling, well, I'm on top of the game.
Yeah, I'm
there. But in that same parable, in Luke 18:13, it says, and the publican, now this is a tax collector, standing afar off. He wasn't even worthy to be in the inner circle of what was going on, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but he smote his breast. He was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, are these words of someone who's spiritually poor? I believe they are. This man knew he had nothing within himself worthy enough to approach God or attaining God. He knew that. And the parable ends with these words, I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking, this man, the publican, the spiritually poor man, went down to his house justified rather than the other. And that's speaking of the spiritually rich man in his own eyes. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased or brought low.
Yeah.
And he that humbleth himself before God shall be exalted. One thing we know, God does not like prideful men. We have nothing to be proud of.
That's right.
We're sinners. We're born dead in our trespasses and sins. We're sinners.
Yes.
There's no room for pride. Proverbs 16:18 tells us this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We can count on that. We can count on that. Psalms 51:17 tells us the sacrifices of God, what you sacrifice to God, is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. With these, it says, oh, God will not despise. He will see that. He will know that's within you. Yeah. He will know that there's a void there that he needs to fill.
Yeah.
And then in Luke 6:21, back to Luke, Jesus continued, blessed are ye that hunger now. Okay? So I asked myself when I read that, are we hungry now for what God wants to reveal to us? Am I hungering for that? Or do we at the present know all that we need to know, Brian?
Yeah.
Are we indifferent to the food available to us in God's Word that is so readily available to us? I believe he wants to get in that Word and to start to drink the milk and chew the meat that's in that Word. There are people in this world today, and I know we've mentioned it on Missionary Radio many, many times, who would travel by foot all day long or even days long to reach a place where they can be filled with the reading of God's Word. And Mark Fawn, I mean, he's all about getting God's Word to the people of the world who need
yes.
it.
Yes.
Jesus said, if we are hungry now in your physical existence for food from God, you are blessed. And why are we blessed if we're hungry now? Well, the verse continues with a promise from God. He says, for ye shall be filled. Brian, if you open up the pages of the Bible, if you are searching and in a hungering spirit, wanting to know more, wanting to be filled with God's Word, Jesus says, with that mindset, you shall be filled.
That's
You'll
right.
be filled. He'll give you the answer.
That's right. That's right.
The day is coming when we will know as we are known. That won't happen here on earth. That'll happen the day we enter into the heavenlies and meet our Savior. The day is coming Brian, when we will see everything clearly.
Yes.
At the present, we can see, but because of our confinement to these physical bodies, what we see of God now, as if we're looking at it through a glass, dark, dimly, there is much beauty and much fulfillment in what we see and know of God now in our physical state, but the day is coming when all that will be crystal clear. That day when we are translated into his kingdom, we will be filled, just as Jesus said, filled Amen. With knowledge, filled with the word, filled with love, filled with purity and righteousness. The day is coming, and that's a promise to all believers. And then Luke 6:21 continues, "Blessed are ye that weep now." Now, weeping for the present state we're in, perhaps, weeping for the failures of the flesh we experience almost every day, weeping because we're not perfect yet. But the day is coming when we will stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we shall laugh, with uncontrollable laughter, because our tears will be wiped away forever. Mm. And we will pick up in verse 22 of Luke 6 after we hear some very good encouraging letters.
Yes, from pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your faithfulness to the work of Missionary Radio, or to the work of Missionary Radio. From Woodlawn, I'm continuously praying for the station and staff. Thank you for being on the air. I pray you will continue to touch the lives of those who listen. Bless you. From Elkton, radios in my house have been tuned to 89.3 since the summer of 1983. I pray it will be going strong when Jesus comes. May God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And of course, this is the Front Porch. I want to throw a quick reminder out for you that you can go back and listen to past programs of the Front Porch and also Ministry Spotlight on missionary.radio, our website. And just go to podcast in the top right-hand corner. Click on that. You'll have two options. You'll have a rocking chair for the Front Porch and a microphone for Ministry Spotlight. Choose the one you want. Click on it. You're just going to see some programs of the Front Porch or Ministry Spotlight.
A new thing we're offering.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can
also,
it,
yeah, yeah. You can also listen to it on Spotify, Amazon Podcast, and Apple Podcast.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Mm-hmm. We left off before the break in Luke 6, verse 22. And we're in the setting that Jesus had just come down from the mountain. He spent a night there praying. He was ordaining his inner circle of disciples, his 12 disciples. As he came down, multitudes flocked them. They just gathered around, and they were wanting to have his healing. But we see that not only was he giving them healing, he was speaking to them. He was telling them about the kingdom of God, telling them how blessed they are when they are searching for the kingdom of God. And in verse 22, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Okay. And we were just talking about a lot of people today. You ask them if they know Jesus, and they'll say, "I don't want to know anything about him. You know,
yeah.
I really just don't." And there's a lot of people that will really not like you very much if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today.
And I'm also noticing a lot of people say they don't believe in heaven or hell. They just think when you die, you just die.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad.
It is sad. There's no hope there.
There's no hope.
That's right. Yeah. But he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. Does that sound very familiar today?
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends it with this, for the Son of Man's sake. That means they're doing this not because of you. They're doing it because they perceive you are a believer in me. That's what Jesus is saying. Yeah. He said, blessed are you. There was a time in my life when I didn't think I would ever experience the things that are mentioned here in this verse.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought that maybe 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as our country more and more forsakes God
yeah.
and is exposed to so many other doctrines and teachings,
yes.
science explaining it, all of these things, we can expect this. Because when you stand on the truth, you are automatically in the battle between truth and lies, truth and untruth, truth and deceit.
Yep.
And we know who the culprit is that is sowing deceit in mankind today.
Yes.
You can't see him. He's an invisible enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the leader of the forces of darkness.
Yes.
There's a battle going on in our country today. You yes. cannot see it, but there is a huge battle going on and
yes.
in the world today.
Yes, big, big battle.
Yeah. So are we experiencing these things today? Well, we are. Believers in Jesus are. But believers in Jesus in other countries are experiencing it even worse than we are. And one day we may be experiencing the same things. So we are currently seeing the momentum of hate, scoffing, reproach. It seems to be escalating. When these things happen, are we to cry? Are we going to cry about it? Are we going to mourn? Are we going to complain about it? Well, Jesus says in verse 23 this, rejoice ye in that day. Not only that, Brian, but he says, and leap for joy. For behold, if you suffer these things because of the Son of Man's sake, your reward is great in heaven. Where is the final payoff for what we suffer today for Jesus?
Heaven.
It's in heaven, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Jesus' sake, be sure to remember that. Do not take it personally if you're witnessing to somebody and they just close the door, or if they shout at you, if they curse you.
Yeah.
Rejoice. Leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven. So this means that there's got to be something that defines us as followers of Jesus Christ, which means there's got to be something that distinctly separates the course of the world from our course. There has to be a visible evidence of that, which means if we blend into this present world, if we accept the course of this present world without speaking against it, if we hide the fact that we are followers of Jesus Christ, we will never be able to rejoice and leap for joy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because for the most part, we will be flowing right along with the current of the world. And we will never cause any turbulence in that river.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus would say, you need to cause turbulence in that river. You need to be a stone in that river blocking the current.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ, which will automatically put the crosshairs of the world on you.
Yes.
And you may experience these things.
Yes.
But rejoice. Leap for joy. So Jesus is imploring us today to stand against all that is not from God and proclaim the words of life to the dead world. And that's what they are. It's not that they are unsaved. It's that they are dead in their trespasses and sins.
Yes.
When we view people as dead, as walking dead, that should give us even more of a heart to bring life to them with what we know. So Jesus is imploring us to be much like the ancient prophets of Israel, who God sent to speak his words to his people when his people were in similar fashion forsaking him.
Mm-hmm.
The people of darkness will always rise up against the people of light, just as Luke 23 ends with, for in the like manner did their fathers, and that's speaking of the children of darkness fathers, unto the prophets. That's speaking of how Israel treated the prophets that God sent to correct them. Now, Jesus goes on to say, but woe unto you that are rich, rich in this world, for ye have received your consolation. He's saying, You enjoy them now because the world's riches is all you're ever going to get. Mm-hmm. Woe unto you that are full, having received and having been satisfied with the food of this world only, for ye shall hunger. The day is coming when all that is accumulated by us in this world will be taken away from us at our death. All that's gone. Mm-hmm. You're going to leave it. Woe unto you that laugh now, that have found contentment, pleasure, happiness, and ultimate fulfillment in this temporal, physical existence only. Jesus says, for ye shall mourn and weep. Mm-hmm. Once you leave this temporal existence, if you're not connected with God, you are guaranteed to be mourning and weeping because you will see what you missed out on.
Sure, sure.
You'll mourn and weep when you enter into the eternal existence. Now, everyone who has ever been born into this world, Brian, I'm sure most people out there listening know this, but it's always good to remind them, everyone who has ever been born in this world or who will ever be born in the future in this world begin an existence that will last forever.
Yes.
We will never not exist. We will all be resurrected. There is a resurrection of life to come, not only for Christians, but for people, all people of the world.
Yes.
There's a resurrection of death.
Yes.
That will come also. The resurrection of life occurs, I believe, before the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. There are people that would believe differently, but that's what I believe. Only those who have believed in God and what he has revealed to them in the Old Testament will be a part of that resurrection. And only those who have believed in Jesus and have accepted him in the New Testament will be a part of that same resurrection. The resurrection of the dead will come later. The resurrection of the dead occurs after Jesus reigns on this earth for 1,000 mm-hmm. years. And everyone who has ever lived upon this earth, who has forsaken God, who has gone away from the temporal world, who has denied any truth of a creator God, will be resurrected only to be cast into the lake of fire and experience an eternal existence without their gods. And I say that plural because there are many, many gods that are turning people away
yes.
from God, the creator God today. Yes. And we can become our own gods.
Yep. Can.
Why would that be? It will be, or who will be there? It will be those people I just mentioned. It'll be Antichrist, the false prophet who deceived the nations to attack Jerusalem. It'll be the deceived nations of the world who followed Antichrist in the fall and the false prophet, and it will be Satan himself. And we'll pick up there because we have a visitor who is itching to get in here and speak to us.
That's right. Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope. Johnny and I have been noticing that more than ever, stories from the Bible are so relevant today.
I am thinking of those telling words spoken in the book of Daniel by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. To set the scene, these three young men had been exiled to Babylon. They were handsome, intelligent, talented, and all three even had top jobs in the government. But King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image, and he demanded that the people of God in exile must worship it. But these three exceptional servants of God refused to do so. They were not only risking their positions of authority in Babylon, they were risking their lives. And when the king found out and threatened to throw these three young men into a fiery furnace because of their disobedience, this is how they responded. They said this. Now listen, quote, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." That's from Daniel chapter 3. And it was like them saying, "King, our God can save us. We believe that the Lord will save us. But even if he does not deliver us, we will still praise the Lord, because we believe the Lord knows best. He sees the big picture, and we don't. And he's got his reasons, even though we might not know them. So, King, whatever happens, God is absolutely trustworthy, not because he delivers us, but because he's God, and we will worship him." Oh, friend, don't you wish that could be your automatic response? when everything goes wrong in your life? I mean, don't you want to be able to say, I'll trust God if he heals me, but if he doesn't, I will still trust him. I will trust him if he provides the finances, but I will trust him if he doesn't. I will praise the Lord if he lands me this job. However, if I stay jobless, I'll still praise him. Those words, but, or however, or nevertheless, should jump to mind when you are in a sticky if or this or that situation. But I will trust God should be your default position no matter what you're going through, because it has such a powerful influence. And that's what makes this story from the book of Daniel so relevant, so needful for today. Because we live in a time when, quote, every man does what is right in his own eyes. And God is out there looking for courageous people who will say, if you follow me in doing what honors God, great. But even if you don't, I'm still going to do the right thing, even if it risks your disapproval. Oh, man, God is looking for people who will do that, who will have power and influence in this age of cynics, the same influence that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had. Because you know what happened to them, don't you? When God did miraculously deliver them from the furnace, it resulted in shaming King Nebuchadnezzar and promoting the fame of Almighty God throughout the entire empire.
So, be encouraged by this story, friend. Be one of those brave souls who trusts God, even if. Don't waver when it comes to relying on him, but put your confidence in him, no matter what. And to help you do that, visit johnnyradio.org today. You'll find all sorts of resources that'll help strengthen your trust and your confidence in God. It's all waiting for you there at johnnyradio.org. And thanks again for listening. So today, let's be courageous.
Concert information. The Awakening Tour featuring Skillet
and Jeremy Camp.
Saturday, November 22nd in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena with special guest We Are Messengers. One night.
One stage.
The Awakening Tour. Skillet, Jeremy Camp, and We Are Messengers. Tickets and info available at awakeningfoundation.com. The Awakening Tour. An Awakening Foundation event.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7. Missionary Radio.
Front Porch is what you're listening to right now on Missionary Radio, your Christian community station. You know, Bing, I'm glad to know today that he makes us brand new, and he's working on us every single day.
Amen. That's exactly what I was going to say. He is continually making us new.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day.
And who's he fashioning us into the likeness of?
Himself.
That's right. So. It's a good thing. And we were talking about people before the break who have rejected that.
Yes.
And who will one day also be resurrected, the resurrection of the dead, and all those people who have not believed in the God of creation. And in the times in which we live, the people who have rejected the good news about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And in the future, all the nations of the world who will be deceived by the false prophet and Antichrist and Satan to lead a charge against Jerusalem, to wipe them, to wipe the whole nation off the map. Mm-hmm. But Jesus will stop that. Yeah. And when he does, he will put the nations into the lake of fire. He will put Antichrist and false prophet into the lake of fire. He will put Satan into the lake of fire.
Yep.
And then once hell is empty because he's taken all those people out at the resurrection and put them into the lake of fire, we are told in Scripture hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and the very last enemy, the very first enemy, and the last one to be taken care of in this world will be death. We are told in Revelation Jesus will take death and cast it into the lake of fire, and that'll pave the way for the new heaven and the new earth to be formed and created. Yeah. Where we will reside forever and ever. The people, we're in the sermon here that he's making in the plane, and going back to that, the people who are laughing now, enjoying only the riches and the food and the pleasures and the satisfaction of the temporary world only, thinking this world is all there is to their existence,
mm-hmm.
Jesus says, will one day mourn and weep, and that'll be eternal mourning and weeping when they realize that everything that God said about his unseen kingdom is true, and that will happen.
Yep.
The Bible tells us what about every knee? They will bow down. Every mm-hmm. knee, that's talking yep. about everyone who's ever been born or who will ever be born in the future, one day will bow the knee and proclaim Jesus
Amen.
as God. Okay, back to Luke 6:26. Woe unto you, Jesus says, when all men shall speak well of you. Wow, what's that mean? Well, you're in the group of men who think worldly, like, oh, he's a part of us. He believes what we believe. He enjoys the things we do. You know, mm-hmm. he's a real mm-hmm. good guy. He'll come with us to the bar. He'll come with us uh-huh. here and there.
Yep.
Jesus says, woe when men shall speak well of you. And then he says, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now, what does Jesus mean there? Well, in ancient Israel, the false prophets told the people and gave counsel to the king exactly what they thought the people and the king wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, in the end times, men will have itchy ears
yes.
and will seek teachers mm-hmm. or preachers that will scratch those ears.
Just tickle them.
Yeah, nothing to do with the Bible, nothing mm-mm. to do with the truth.
Just makes you feel good.
But will make you feel good with all yep. kinds of crazy notions yep. and doctrines. but these false prophets, there was no truth of God in their voice, but there was a relative truth in their voice that aligned them with the flow of the king, with the flow of the people, no matter how ungodly and evil that flow was.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that. You read Ezekiel, you'll see how far Israel fell, how far the temple in Jerusalem fell. It was wicked. It was wicked. There is no correction from the false prophets. There was no direction from the false prophets except the direction in which the people and the king were already set on going. So they were just verifying it. They were just saying, just keep doing what you're doing, king. Just keep going with the flow, king. Everything will be all right. That's why the people who are more aligned in the world's ways than with God's ways spoke well of the false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets who really caused a stir, the prophets who were often beaten, imprisoned, or killed
yeah.
By the king and by the people, those prophets were the true prophets of God who changed the flow or the course in which the people were going. Jesus is charging us today as people who know him to be that kind of person. Speak mm-hmm. the truth. Cause the stir. You may be beaten, imprisoned, or killed, but you keep doing it because yes. the kingdom of God is everlasting and the kingdom of man is just a temporary thing.
Right, right.
So Jesus is speaking to his disciples as well as all who were gathered on the plain that day. And Jesus is speaking to us today who follow him to be a peculiar people.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that in the Bible?
Oh, yes.
We're to be a peculiar people, a different people, a people set apart from the course of this world. Why?
Yes.
Because his disciples and us, who are disciples of Jesus, had to get what he was teaching. Jesus knew that within 3 years, his disciples there, who he just ordained, he would be gone. And the message, as he's saying right now to this multitude of people in the plain, would be on their shoulders to
yeah.
bear.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's speaking to us too.
Absolutely.
That falls on our shoulders too as followers of Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew at this particular time that the Jewish people would reject him. He knew that
mm-hmm.
and kill him, and that God's kingdom's work would one day be given to a set-apart people, a set-apart people, and that would begin with his, not those original 12, but 12 disciples. Judas would not be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Matthias would have been in his place, but that's the core, that's that 12 that started this, that were there in the temple during Acts, during Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
when the Spirit, speaking of the Spirit earlier, we were talking about the Spirit
yes,
moving
yes, yes.
in the Red River Meeting House. Just imagine how the Spirit moved there at the birth of the church. how he spoke to people who Jews from all over the world who didn't understand one language, but he spoke plainly to all of them.
Yes,
and they were confused, and they said, "What is going on?" And Jesus said, "Hey, it's Jesus, the Jesus that you guys crucified, the Jesus that you hung on the cross. We're speaking of Jesus. This is the power of the resurrection going on. You see it."
Mm-hmm.
And God knew that he needed a preacher. Jesus told Peter, he said, "One day you will be the pillar of the church." And that was it. He was explaining exactly what was going on. We're not drunk. We're not drunk. It's the Spirit of God. So are we supposed to be set apart from this world?
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Peculiar, sojourners, travelers through this world, maybe set apart, but we go through this world because we're on our way to another one.
Yes.
Now, part of the answer of that question can be found in Luke 6:27, and the following verses tell us, "But I say unto you which hear," we're back in the sermon, "which hear the voice of Jesus who comes from God, which hear the voice which comes from heavenly realm," a voice that only people seeking him are going to understand. He says this, and the people of the world wouldn't understand this then, and they probably don't understand it now, but he says, "Love your enemies." Jesus says, "Love your enemies and do good to them which hate you."
Mm.
That's hard for even believers to understand.
Very hard.
These are definitely not words that come from this present world.
Mm-mm.
Definitely not. He follows with another radical statement in verse 28. "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you."
Mm.
Brian, he's telling us to do that.
That's tough.
Are these things even possible?
Yeah.
For someone who is living and believing that this present world is all there is? No, they're not possible for people who are believing in just the world's existence. Are these things even possible for someone who believes the only existence they have in this temporary existence is all they're going to experience in their fleshly body? No. They're going to go for whatever they can get. And these things are definitely not going to be possible for anyone who believes there's no reason to receive someone else's hate, to receive someone else's cursing, to receive any kind of persecutions from anyone. What is the reason Jesus, who comes from heaven, instructs us who believe in him and reside on this earth to live so differently than all the other people? What is the reason for that? Well, I can tell you this. These instructions have nothing to do with this temporary existence we know of on this earth. He's telling us not for that. These instructions from the heavenly tell us, who are citizens of the heavenly because of our faith in Jesus, how to live as citizens of heaven should live, even while we are still existing as citizens of this earth. And if we do so, if we choose to follow the same path that Jesus followed, and we know what happened to Jesus, and instructs his followers to follow, we will, capital W-I-L-L, receive persecutions and scoffing from the world.
Yep.
I hate to leave it there because there's reward for that.
Yep.
There's heavenly rewards for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your words. Continue to teach us, loosen us, make us people that move and have purpose in this world, and tell the others that we know, everyone that we know, the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.